Trust me, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Children will play without sadness. The women will dance without fear. The men will walk tall with must be.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Deacon. Blessings.
Good night.
Amen. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home for the happy and free. We give God thanks for this another Bible study. This is what, the 24th day of the first month. 2026 is indeed a privilege, and I just want to exalt the name of Jesus. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. Bless the Lord. Yes, I just want to exalt the name of Jesus. We have a very in-depth study this evening, and it's different from the normal way we normally present. It's going to take a little bit more time. Amen. Let us pray as we get into it. Lord, we thank you for your preparation. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for everything, mighty God. We recognize that we cannot achieve nothing without you that will make any sense at all. And so, Lord, we must invite you at this time to stick with us. Be among us, mighty God. See in us and through us. Cause us to have the desire to learn of you. We pray for those that are on their way, mighty God, that you will ease their footsteps and cause, mighty God, that as the word will go forth, it will meet us at the very point of need. We thank you, God, for the outcome of tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. All right. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the resurrection chapter. Amen. Chapter that Paul speaks, give more insight or more in-depth to the resurrection. It's a very interesting chapter. Talks about even people being baptized for the dead in that chapter. You know, and talk about the some of them evidently did not believe in the resurrection and stuff. What Paul is saying to them, Paul is saying, if you do not believe in the resurrection, then you're still in your sin. Because the resurrection is one of our firm foundations in Christendom. You know, Christ, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. As Christians, we believe in life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Just how Christ was risen, we too will be risen. Amen? Death is not the end. The question that we will address tonight is, what? You know, will we, how will we spend our long eternity with God? So my aim tonight is to take us to a place of consciousness that you won't allow the temporal things of this life to cause you to miss heaven. Amen. So we're going to go through it very timely, you know, just to arouse your appetite for more of God and less of self. Oh, that we will lose ourselves and find it, Lord, in thee. You know, maybe you have heard that when you die, you can't take anything with you. Amen. I know many of you will agree with me tonight. Or many of you will agree with that side of the coin that we cannot take anything with us. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. But,
amen.
Yeah, but that's true for most part. Most things we cannot take with us. But it is not true for everything. There is one thing in this life that we can take with us into the world beyond death. You know, obviously we cannot take money, we cannot take food, we cannot take clothes, we cannot take computer, cars, houses. We can't take diplomas, honors, awards, promotion. We can't take church building, religious positions, or even spiritual abilities in the world beyond this one. But you can take the greatest thing of all, the thing that never fails nor fades, the thing that remains when everything else passes away, the greatest thing in this life and in the life to come is love. We can take love with us. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, Paul said, love never fails. But where there is prophecies, they will cease. Where there is tongues, they shall be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it shall pass away. Love never fails. When Paul said love never fails, it simply means that it never collapses, it's never obsolete. It proves, it or does it prove worthless? It endures because it reflects God's own character. God is love and belongs to the life of eternity. That's love, belongs to eternity. It's never-ending love, not just in this age. Paul said that prophecies will cease. Tongues will cease. Knowledge will pass away. Paul is not saying that knowledge is bad or that prophecy or tongues are bad. He's saying that these gifts belong to the present church. The present church, the imperfect stage. Amen. Prophecies is needed now to guide and to build up the church, but it won't be needed in the same way forever. Tongues likewise serve a purpose for now, but it won't be a feature of the final completed state. Knowledge, you know, is there in knowing path, the prophesying path, you know, but all of that is just for to build up the present church now, the church is. But love goes beyond that. Amen. So if God's kind of love lives in your heart, you may be sure of treasure in heaven. The greatest this love grows during this life, that's the love of God, the greater your treasure will be in the life to come. Already now is love worth more than anything else in this world. Love worth more than anything else in this world. And when we get to heaven, it will worth even more, even when we get to heaven. Love is the only treasure we can take with us to heaven. The only treasure that will never decay nor taken away. Amen. The question tonight for us is, how do we know that love is the supreme reality of the new creation? You know, we look at some Bible verses. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus will reign until he crushes all enemies. Then he will present his redeemed creation to his Father so that God will be all in all. That's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. He said, God will be all in all. God is love. He will be all in all. You may ask, what is a world where God is all in all? What does a world where God is all in all? What does, you know, it is a world of love because God is love. We know that. That's a fact. It's written in the Bible, 1 John 4, verse 16. Because heaven is a world of love. There is no place in it for people who have not the love of God in their heart. The only place for hearts without the love of God is hell. Without love, we are nothing in this life. And we will never, and nothing will, you know, we will find ourselves heading to a life of torment without love. Love is what gives anything else on earth its value. And love is what lasts when everything else is left behind. Without love, material things are useless. Without love, even supernatural abilities and achievements are empty. The Bible says that even if we speak the tongues of angels, even if we could see the future and understand the most mysterious ideas, even if we were willing to die for what we believe, such things would be worthless without love. They can be valuable, you know, they can things here, yeah, but can be valuable if they are done in love. But when heaven arrives on earth, and the perfect world becomes a reality, nothing temporary and incomplete will, you know, everything rather that is temporary or incomplete will pass away. Many spiritual gifts that are now useful won't be needed in the ultimate future, but love will be needed. First Corinthians 13 tells us that love remains, love never fails. It is the most excellent thing, the greatest thing, and the thing that makes everything else worthwhile. It is the thing that lasts forever and stands at the very center of God's new creation, the New Jerusalem. You know, the New Jerusalem will be a world of love, a perfect harmony among animals, people, angels, and God himself. Hallelujah. So, what will our relationship be like with people in the New Jerusalem? You may want to ponder that for a bit. You know, what will our relationship be like with people in the New Jerusalem? Micah, the minor prophet Micah, in the fourth chapter, verses 3 and 4, says, they will beat their sword into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and there will be no one will be afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. End of the reading. This would depict a picture of future peace. The prophet depicts a time when God's rule brings universal peace and justice. He's rather saying, when he's saying that the sword is going to be like plowshares and their spear into pruning hooks, he's rather saying that their weapons will be transformed. It's an imagery of sword becoming something else apart from what they normally use the sword for. The sword and the pruning and the spears will become something that will bring peace instead of war. It's going to be used for productive work, agriculture, and creation, cultivation, you know, community well-being. It's going to be used for productive work instead of for war. That's what the prophet Micah said, and that's what New Jerusalem will be like. God's perfect world of love will be a world without war, without crime, without arguing. When heaven comes to earth, every human relationship on earth will be a heavenly relationship. Maybe you're pondering this question. What if someone you don't like is there? What if someone you don't like, you didn't like on this side of eternity, is there in earth? In heaven. You know, do you think that will be a problem? When we get to heaven, rather, we will be so delighted God let us in that we won't have time to complain about who else he lets in. Besides, all of our dislikes and hatred will be swallowed up in the ocean of God's love. Everything in others and in us that deserves to be disliked, every sin will be removed. We'll understand each other and love each other, even if we didn't get along on earth. So, my suggestion to us is that we might just as well just start loving each other, each person now, everybody that we get a chance to meet. Yes, relationships will be healed. Amen. Everyone that you get a chance to meet, just start loving them. You know, because you might just be next to them in heaven. You know, all people will be perfectly lovable. The Bible says that nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceived, but only those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, verse 27. Those who have nothing of God's life and love in their heart won't make it into the city of God. And those who do not have the life and love of Christ will be, and those who have, rather, those who have the love of Christ will be purified, and anything unworthy will be cured. They will be cured of it. In this life, even the most godly, lovable people do have unlovable things about them. You know, the character traits sometimes is like, you know, people can take some things about us, neither can we take some things about some people. You know, we all have something that bugs the people who knows us. But in the new creation, there will be nothing wrong with anybody that you can get along with them. Everyone will be perfectly lovable, and everyone will be perfectly loving. Each person who is truly born again in Christ has already been given that spark of God's life and love. Amen. I see a question in the chat from Sister Joyce. There. What if the person we hated on this side of life make it into heaven and we be cast away? Yes, what if they make it to heaven and we be cast away? That would be very sad. That would be very sad, Sister Joy. You know, if they make it, we be cast away, that means, you know, that would force that, you know, we have to be so circumspect in our walk and be so purposeful to make heaven our home. Amen. Yes, so part of the joy of our joy in the new creation and resurrection relationship will be our reunion with loved ones from this life. Yeah. In the new creation, we will truly know each other. And each of us will be our true self. We won't become a total other self. Our bodies are resurrected, not replaced. So we'll have a resurrected body, not a replaced body. Our personalities are perfected, not wiped out. Each of us will still have the unique identity that makes us who we are. The New Jerusalem is eternal. Amen. Makes us who we are. I will still be myself, and you will still be yourself. And you will recognize, we will recognize and be reunited with our loved ones. Amen. Yes. Jesus said in St. Matthew 8, verse 11, I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I will read that again. Jesus said, I say to you, many will come from the east and west and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the New Jerusalem. Matthew 8, verse 11. This shows that Abraham will still be Abraham. Amen. Yes, I don't know what happened to the screen just now. All right. Can you all hear me? Yes. So this will show that Abraham will still be Abraham, and Isaac will still be Isaac. Jacob will still be Jacob. They are going to be transformed, but they are still going to be themselves. Amen. In fact, they will be more truly themselves than they were in this life. And people will be able to recognize them, and they will be able to recognize other people. If this was not so, we would not find comfort when loved one dies. We would have no hope of seeing them again. But the reality of eternal life and knowing each other in eternity gives comfort to those who grieve the loss of loved ones in this life. We do not grieve. The Bible in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 18 to 18 said that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. The dead in Christ will rise. We will all be with the Lord. And it goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. What comfort would there be in the face of death if there were no reunion in which we know each other? You know, what comfort would that be? You know, the fact that we will recognize each other doesn't mean that every relationship will remain exactly as it was when you left Earth. For instance, people who were husband and wife in this life will not be married to each other in eternity. In St. Matthew 22, verse 30, Jesus says, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor give into marriage. So you can propose to no one on the other side. Amen. In the new creation, marriage won't exist. This might not sound like good news for those of us who dearly love our spouse and greatly enjoy marriage. Amen. Yeah, Mr. Minister Linnet said we will be like angels. We'll look at that. We'll look at that, Minister. Yeah. In this new creation, marriage won't exist. And it may not sound to you because you're now enjoying your marriage, loving your spouse and all of that. You know, you may ask the question, how can eternity be happy without the affection and pleasures of marriage? Now, let's take it up a bit further. Marriage can be so good, we can't imagine being happy without it. Amen. That is why putting God's first place in our life is so important for us to prepare us for the life to come. Be comforted to accept the fact that God has a better plan than marriage for us. Amen. God has a better plan than marriage for us that will bring relationships and pleasures far more surpass that which marriage had to offer. In resurrection relationships, we will love everyone with a greater love than even the best marital love on earth. Marriage on earth can only hint at such love that we will experience. Marriage points to a relationship between our Lord Jesus Christ and his church, Ephesians 5, 22 to 23. Marriage is also a training ground for learning to really know somebody deeply and love them fully with all their flaws and with all your flaws. You know, finding somebody, loving them deeply, putting all things aside, meeting them at the pathway, and said, with all your flaws, I'm going to love you, despite all your state. After the resurrection, that training will be complete, and we will be able to love many more people deeply and fully. In heaven, we will love to be loved by people from every nation and language. We will love and be loved by people from different centuries. We will love and be loved by great heroes of the Bible. Won't it be fun to talk to Brother Noah and find out more about the ark he built? Or to discuss with Queen Esther how she risked her life to rescue God's people from destruction? I able to talk to Blessed Mary, the mother of Jesus, and ask her about Jesus' childhood and to discuss with Apostle Paul about his daring expeditions where he went to missionary journeys and stuff. Of course, we won't be talking about old times all the time. We'll be enjoying people in their new glorified state and exploring all the new possibilities that we'll have in God's perfect kingdom. Amen. In the New Jerusalem, Sister Minister Lena said, in the New Jerusalem, we will be a redeemed set of people loving one another. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes. In addition to relationships with saints, the heroes and new friends from all over the world, we'll also enjoy seeing familiar faces. We will love and be loved by Christian family members and friends whom we know in this life, and those bond of love will be closer than ever before. We are also going to meet faithful followers of Jesus we do not know in this life, people we might never had a chance to hear before, who helped to make possible for us to know Jesus, those heroes of faith. Those of us from Christian families will meet godly ancestors who passed the faith from generation to generation. You know, we'll meet godly missionaries who went places where the gospel had not been before. We will meet some who even died in order to bring the gospel to others. The martyrs of faith, we'll want to meet them. We will rejoice in recognizing how others help us and how we help others to get to Beulah land. In the new creation, God will give us the joy of seeing the eternal fruit of things we did in this life by His Spirit, such as bringing up our children to know the Lord, sharing the gospel with friends and neighbors, or even offering money and prayers for ministries and missionaries who brought God's truth and love to others. God will give us the joy of seeing how some of our actions make eternity different and for other people. In our resurrection relationship, there will be no hurry when we are talking with someone. We won't be a slave of a schedule. You know, too many of us in this lifetime live as if we're worshiping the clock. Amen. Our schedule drives us and dominates us. If we are at work or in a meeting or traveling, not to mention the church or anything meant to strengthen our faith in God, we get so uneasy and feel so violated if it is not done within 45 minutes. Stops. In anything over 45 minutes, we start to get uneasy because we don't want to spend presence maturing if our faith are being nurtured to live in eternal bliss with God. Amen. The only time that we let time just fly past us is when we're at a party or watching television or scrolling on the phone. Amen. Then, you can scroll for hours, no problem. But as soon as you must give a word of prayer, you want it to be as short as possible, as if we don't have any zeal, the fire that should burn in us to make us nurture our spirit, preparing it for eternity. It's like that fire is not there. And that's an attack. And we have to identify it as an attack on our spirituality. Amen? Yes, we won't spend much time in this earth. We don't spend much time in this earth, rather, knowing people well and enjoying their company. We don't even spend enough time to know God well and to understand what He has in store for us at the resurrection. You know, many Christians today, if you ask them what happened after death, They would go around telling you all sorts, and not lining up properly with how the Bible would say it, or of a firm belief of what to expect after death. It's as if we're not capable to defend our faith the way we should. That is why studies like this is so important, so we can zero in on what matters most. Amen. So, yes, heaven will include a multitude that no one can count, from every tribe and language and people and nation, but we'll never run out of time to get to know everyone. Amen. We'll have all eternity to get acquainted. You can talk to St. Peter, you can talk to Jesus, you can talk to Mary for 6 months and still no shortage of time to visit with others of God's people. We won't have to break conversation for the sake of busy schedule. No one will even keep track of time in heaven. There, Revelation 22 verse 5 tells us that there will be no night there. And the glory of God will be so bright that the sun and moon won't be needed. Can you imagine such place? No one will need to even sleep, since we will never be tired. No one will ever ask what time is this, because we'll never run out of time. We can enjoy unlimited fellowship with fellow believers and with Jesus himself. One of the delights of how we relate to others in the New Jerusalem will be the joy we will have for our brothers and our sisters when God bless them. In this life that we're living, when God bless people around us, sometimes we operate as if we're not happy for them. But in the New Jerusalem, we'll be happy for our brothers and sisters when God bless them. It will be the new creation will be envy free. In our present sinful condition, we tend to envy the blessing others get. We are not happy for them. Instead, we wish we could have what they have. But in the world of love, the New Jerusalem, we will be contented with the gift, with God's gift for us, and we will rejoice in all that he gives others, even if they receive greater honor and pleasure than we do. In this present imperfect world, one of the few relationships where we might rejoice in someone surpassing us when is our own children, when our own children do so. Good parents don't resent their children's success. We rejoice in it because we love them and delight in their successes and joy. Even we have a hard time to rejoice in other. Even if when we have a hard time to rejoice in other people's success, that's because we don't love them enough. There is not enough love that is shed abroad in our heart to cause their success to be a point where we can step in and love them through when they are successful. When heaven comes on earth, that will change. We will love every person in heaven more than we love even our own children right now. So we will be glad in whatever makes others glad and rejoice in the reward and honor other people receive. There will be certainly be plenty to be glad about. God will be pouring in much blessing and happiness on each of us that will surpass our capacity to hold it all. And his blessing on others who we love will add to the feast of happiness. Hallelujah. Yes, Minister, what hope. We will be at a place of peace and fellowship. Hallelujah. Glory to Almighty God. Amen. Yes. In heavenly relationship, the happier other persons are, is the happier we will be. There will be no envy, no boasting. Just ever increase in joy and love. Amen. Darling sister, that we are in a microwave society where we want everything up front at once. You know, 15 minutes out. Amen. So any questions? Anything you want to share before we move on to our next point? That is our relationship with angels in the new creation.
Okay. It is so, I'm so blessed to know that learning about the New Jerusalem, that it is a dwelling place of God. Yeah, with his chosen. If we make it in, if we live right, if we are obedient, chosen with the redeemed people. Oh my God, where there will be no more suffering or pain or death, and we'll just fellowship and just love one another, as I put in the chat, what a day, what a day. And this is so good tonight to learn that in that city, oh God, where God and Jesus dwell, where we don't need any light. It is a sacred place. Happy people, right? So and to know that we have to try to live right so that we can make it in, make our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because only those whose name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in that New Jerusalem with Jesus, with God, and with his people. There will be purity, oh God, and redemption, redeemed people, singing and worshiping. What a day. Let us strive tonight to try to make it in. This is a beautiful lesson. I'm learning so much from it. And my heart is so touched into. I'm in the world. Praise God. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Brother
Hallelujah.
Everton.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank,
thank
you.
You. Thank you, Minister. Yes, indeed. If ever time we need to learn about heaven.
Hallelujah.
No, there's no other time, because we cannot learn about it when we transition from this life. So now
Jesus.
Is the time that we must wake our appetite. Our appetite must be so infused with heaven and our mind. You know, anything that we do, we must do it because we have a, we have heaven and our mind. And so tonight, not only will our relationship with people be perfected, but also our relationship with angels.
24 people.
Another heavenly relationship to look forward to is with the angels. We don't know angel very well yet. You know, when we become citizens of heaven, we come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Hebrew 12 verse 22 tells us that. But he are come unto Mount Zion and unto
yes.
the city of the living God,
Lord,
the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Isn't he wonderful? An innumerable company of angels. So we need to know about angels. So scriptures portray a vast host of angels gathered before God's throne, joined by countless people and creation of every kind. Revelation 5 verse 11 to 13. It said, "And behold, I hear the voice of many angels round
yeah.
about the throne
yes.
and the priests and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times
10,000. Hallelujah.
And
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes, Lord.
And wisdom and strength and honor. And
my God.
Oh,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What blessed
Glory
hope.
To God.
And blessed
every
hope.
Creature
Glory
which is in
to
heaven
God.
And on earth and under the earth, and such as
Hallelujah.
Are in the sea and all that is in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory.
And glory.
And
oh, God.
Him that
right.
sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
That's a blessed hope. That blessed hope.
I could go on to Revelation 7, verse 9 to 11, that says, after this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues.
Nobody could number.
Before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm in their hands and cry with a loud voice,
What a hope.
And unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down the throne on their face and worship God.
Worship.
Angels. Mm-hmm. Angels.
Worship the Lord.
Stop reading. Angels already love God's people more than we know. Jesus said that even the smallest and least important children are zealously cared for by the mightiest angels who have direct access to God and the Father. And see that in Matthew 18, verse 10.
Thank you, Jesus.
Matthew 18, verse 10 said, take heed that he despise not one of these children. And mind you, it's Jesus speaking. He said, take heed that he despise not one of these little children. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
That goes for us.
The angels.
We have angels watching over us. Jesus would say that.
Hallelujah.
That you despise none of them because they have angels that watches over them. And the other thing to that is that angels that watches over you, they are in the presence of Almighty God.
Jesus
said that even when one sinner repents and finds new
joy in heaven,
there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Luke 15, verse 10. He said, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner.
Just one.
That repented. Angels love us. Angels love us, the people of God.
Oh, God, you love us, sir.
Yes, most angel activities is hidden from us in this life.
One in our heart.
Seldom, if ever, do we see angels or sense their nearness. Seldom, if ever, do we feel their love for us. But the angels are there even when we don't see them or feel them. They are working to help God's people. You're not alone. We are never alone. We have angels all around us so we can praise Jesus wherever we are because the angels will usher us into a season or an atmosphere and ambiance of worship.
Changes around us.
In the new creation, when heaven comes to earth, the angels will no longer be hidden and their love will no longer be a secret. We will know in full what it is like to be loved by angels. And we will have the joy loving them. Amen. We'll have the joy of loving them. Then we can meet and thank angels who help us in this life. And we can enjoy their company forever. Angels are so strong and splendid that if we see them now, we'll be tempted to bow down and worship them. Remember that it was an angel who rolled away this stone from the grave of from the tomb of Jesus. Angels rolled away that stone. Revelation 22, verse 8 tells us, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. If we see an angel now, we'll be tempted to bow down and worship because they are splendid, well crafted being from Almighty God. Angels, I won't leave that scripture there. After that encounter, the angel said to John, "Get up! I'm just a man like you are. I'm just an angel, you know." But in the world of love, angels will not overwhelm us. They will love us and we will love them. If angels were so, if angels were not so pure and did not love us so much, they might be tempted to envy us. God has done things for humanity and promised us privileges that surpass even what he gives to the angels. The Son of God never became an angel, but he became a human. So it is not to angels that God has subjected the world to come. We see that in Hebrews 2, verse 5, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. God's people, not angels, will reign forever and ever. Revelation 22, verse 5 said, there will be no more night. There will be no need the light of a lamp or light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's you and I, reigning forever and ever. Unbelievable though it sounds, unimaginable it may seem, we will reign with Christ and even have some kind of authority over angels. Yeah? We will have some kind of authority over angels. Do you not? Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 and 3, he said, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do you not know that we will judge angels? You know, it brings me back to the thought to ask, to pose this question. Have you ever thought about judging an angel? Maybe not. You know, whatever it means, I surely don't feel ready for that, to judge an angel. How could a puny little sinner like myself ever have authority to evaluate a dazzling, mighty angel of God? But impossible though it sounds, it's going to be a reality. We're going to judge angels. If you know Jesus as your Savior, God as your Father, you are a child of the King. You are royalty. Right now, the angels are stronger and holier than we are. But a time is coming when your holiness will match that of the angels, and your greatness will surpass theirs. You know, right now we may still be a spiritual baby. We may be small and weak. We may be smelly with sin. But we won't be a baby forever. As God's Holy Spirit keeps working in our lives, we keep getting cleaned up. We keep growing up. That's called sanctified. We keep being sanctified. We keep being sanctified, anointed for a time. You know, our Father will give us great authority. When Jesus returns to judge the world and to rule it, God's children will rule along with the Lord. Even angels will be under our authority. If only you and I could have some sense of our destiny, we would be better Christians. We'll live far better than how we are living now. Amen. Yeah. Do you think angels, question for you, do you think angels are upset or envious of people being promoted above them? In the interest of time, my resounding answer is no. They are thrilled. They are not envious of us being promoted above them. Angels don't lose their youth. When human gains, angels don't lose. Their supreme delight is Christ. So their delight grows even with every human who is remade to be like Christ. They rejoice at God's wisdom and generosity in making small, sinful humanity so grand and so glorious. Angels' attitude might be somewhat like that of a superb teacher who spends long years helping a student until that student surpassed the teacher in amazing ways. You know, you may teach a child, and after that child become a lawyer, a doctor, a pastor, you know, amount to something bigger than the old teacher. The angels won't resent if humanity rises to stunning height. In fact, that is the very thing angel has been working to bring about. You know, so it won't cause them to envy us when we are promoted above them. You know, in the circle of joy around God's throne, angels become happier and happier with every human in the Lord's royal family who receives a crown. Amen. And I'm saving the best for last. Not only will we enjoy the company of our beloved that has gone on before us, people that will meet Father Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all those fathers of faith we'll come in contact with, or will we get to know angels as they are, but the relationship with Almighty God. This needs a praise from deep within that we will have a resounding, everlasting relationship with God Himself. We look, you know, everything that we have looked at the relationship, resurrection relationship, is not enough. It does not attract so much as the relationship that we will have with God. Hallelujah. What I'm talking about is so good, so sweet, so stunning, so marvelous that everything else I've said up to this point is nothing by comparison. The best thing about heaven, the thing that makes it heaven, is the presence of God Himself, the ocean of glory, the radiance of His beauty, the riches of His wisdom, the awe of His holiness, the thrill of His power, the sweetness of His love. What heaven? When heaven comes to earth, there will be no more uncertainty or lack of clarity. Just direct, clear vision and stunning enjoyment of our Lord Jesus. The Bible says, now we see but a poor reflection, but we shall see face to face. We shall see Him and we shall handle Him. Amen. The best resurrection relationship of all is with God Himself. The new creation will be a world of love because God is love. Love is not only what God does, but who God is. Before there were any angels, any people, any animals, before there were any created thing at all, there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, united in a love so deep that God, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. This Holy Trinity created the heavenly realm and the eternal, the earthly realm, and comes up with a way to save and exalt sinful people and the fallen creation. God did this in order to pour an overflowing of divine love on each and other human and other being, so that those beings might share the life and love of God Himself. God plans to bring heaven to earth in the new creation, and to make earth as full of love as heaven is. All genuine love in the universe originated in God, and all the love of every creature is not even a fraction of the immeasurable wellspring of love that is in God. God is love. Because God is infinite, He must be an infinite fountain of love. Because God is all-sufficient, He must be a full, overflowing, inexhaustible fountain of love. Because He is unchangeable and eternal, God is an unchangeable and eternal fountain of love. There in heaven, this infinite fountain of love, the eternal three-in-one, is set open without any obstacle to hinder access to it, as it flows forever. There, this glorious God is manifested and shines forth in full glory, in beams of love. And there, this glorious fountain forever flows forth in streams, in rivers of love and delight. And these rivers swell, as it were, to an ocean of love in which the souls of the ransomed may bathe with the sweetness, enjoyment, and their heart, as it were, be overloaded with love. If this heavenly relationship with God sounds too mysterious or overwhelming to imagine, remember this, with heaven and earth, not just heaven, in some other world. And remember that the Lord of love is none other than the same Jesus who walked this earth. Jesus became one of us so that we could know God personally and experience his love. Jesus won't relate to us only in a spirit. He will present to us in his human body. Jesus befriended many people during his life and ministry. They could eat with him and talk with him freely. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, he remained a friend and ate with some people before he went away to heaven. And the first Easter, the risen Jesus came alongside two of his friends walking down the road, and he accepted the invitation to be a guest in their home. A bit later, the risen Jesus came to his disciples on the beach where they were fishing. Jesus made a campfire, baked some bread, roasted some fish for them, and talked with them as they ate. When heaven comes to earth, we will be able to see Jesus with the eyes in our head and the eyes in our heart. We'll see into the divine nature of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. In that moment, that very moment, when we come in direct contact with the Almighty, we may be ashamed at how we would have ignored or doubted this great God for some season. We may be ashamed at how we offered his glory by thinking we would find happiness, offended his glory rather, by thinking we could find happiness in other things but him. But even that shame will flood us with fresh wonder at his grace in loving us and pouring out his blood for us. And we will join every saint and every angel in adoring him. There are many marvels to look forward to in eternity, people of God. But no other sight will compare to looking on the face of the Lord and to see that he is looking at us and smiling. There's no other joy than to meet him face to face and see him looking at us and we looking at him and he's smiling. There will be so many sounds in heaven, but no other sound, no celestial music or conversation with saints or angels can compare to the sound of the voice which brought the world into being. The voice that shakes the mountain and directs the galaxies. The voice that whispers faith into my cold heart. The voice that calls the dead from the tomb. Nothing can compare to the sound of that voice saying to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. Welcome home, my daughter. Welcome home, my son. Come, reign with me." The very voice that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The very voice that spoke this universe into place is the very voice that going to talk to us. The very voice. So since we don't really know God as well yet, our desires sometimes focus on another aspect of eternal hope. But when we actually arrive in glory, all those wonderful things will not impress us nearly as much as God himself. Anything beautiful will look pale in comparison to this force of all beauty. Anything enjoyable will seem almost dried comparing to the fountain of joy. Even our reunion with loved ones will take second place at our encounter with love himself, No pleasure will compare with taking pleasure in our God, in our Father's glory, and knowing that He takes pleasure in us. Indeed, the other pleasures of heaven will move us to take greater, even greater pleasure in God Himself. As we delight in relationship with others, we will delight even more in the greatest love of God who makes such relationship possible. As we hold positions of great authority, we will be acting in His supreme authority. Even our authority over angels will seem valuable only because we both know and the angels belong to such a holy and generous and beautiful Father. In our eternal home, we will love God with our whole being. When we love animals, people, angels, we will love them for God's sake, seeing each other, you know, seeing each other as reason to adore and the supreme, lovable, and loving God. We will be united to the Lord in a way that goes beyond description or imagination, and we will be our best. Amen. We will spend eternity in the presence of God, who has loved us with an everlasting love. We will see and touch the hands and feet that bled for our salvation. We will gaze on the holy, and we will gaze on the all holy God, whom no man can see and live. And we will see Him as He is and live forevermore. That's the glory that we're talking about. That's heaven. Sweet Beulah Land. The New Jerusalem. That's why we press down and trample on our feet anything on this earth that will dampen our arrival through the pearly gates of heaven. You know, that is why we do what we do, because we want to make heaven our home. God bless you, people of God. Thanks for coming and hearing me out. Amen. Amen. Any questions before I turn over to us, Allison? Amen. Are you there? Any questions before I turn over to Sister Allison? All right. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Yes. Yes. I have a question. That was a wonderful presentation about heaven. You
Amen.
Know, the church did a Bible study on Revelation, and really we were blessed. And tonight we're really blessed to remind us about what heaven looks like and love. But I'd like to ask a question that you brought up that really, it doesn't really bother me, but I hear, I'm from the Open Bible, I'm from New Testament Church of God as well, when
Amen.
They're good time baptized there. Now, I hear, I don't know if it's just the Seventh-day Adventist, but I heard somebody from the Open Bible Church says when we die, because you brought it up twice, that's why I'm going to, because I, you know, I have a little problem with it sometimes, that when
okay.
we die, we are not going to go to heaven. We are just at rest. Our spirits, you know, man is a spiritual being. He lives in a body and he has a soul. And we know that is the body that dies, but the spirit lives on, and the soul. But what he's trying to say is that when we die, you know, it's in the Old Testament, but we are in the New Testament now, that we are trying to say to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul says. But they still hold that when we die, we are just at rest. You know, so I don't know, what is your take on that? You're saying when we die, we're going to go directly to heaven, right?
Yes, when we die, angels is going to usher us. That's how I believe that angels is going to usher us right into heaven. There, mm-hmm. There are different beliefs on it. Some believe that we're going to go to a place of we're going to go to a you know
Food.
yeah purgatory or something like that. You know, we're going to go there and we're going to there for a season and whatever. You know, but we're believing that when Christ was on the cross and that he was crucified with that thief, and he said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You know, we believe that to be absent, we are believing that to be absent from the body is to be present with our Lord. You know, we are not holding to believe that we are just going to be annihilated or just being redundant for a season. You know, we are we're going to. I am believing, and if you want, I can find scriptures that would support that argument, that would strengthen your leaning towards believing as well. I would research them and, you know, present them and stuff. Yes, but that's the belief, Sister Yvonne. Anyone want to share on that?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks, Brother Everton, for bringing up all these good things about heaven. Heaven is where the Lord is. That about staying in the grave until such time. That's a Catholic teaching. You go to purgatory.
Yes.
That's a Catholic teaching. That's not
that's
our
Catholic.
Belief. That's not our belief.
No, but the person is not saying purgatory. The person say you're at rest. You know, like in the Old Testament, it talks about being at rest if you're going to Job and some of in the Psalm as well. And other, like in Daniel, that you're going to be at rest. You know, in Daniel, I think chapter 12. I don't really, I believe what my church believe that to be absent from the body. This is the New Testament, because when Jesus came, you remember what happened when he was on the cross and all the saints rose. You remember that scripture?
Yes.
Yes.
So, the resurrection.
Right. When all the saints, when he was on the cross and when they had that earthquake and all the saints
yes.
in Jerusalem.
The saints were seen.
Right. And so I believe that when we die, to be absent from the body is to
be present
is to be with the Lord. To be
but
with
a
him.
Lot of people, as I said, I don't know about the church here, but from this person and other people that I've heard, they say when you die, you're just at rest. You know, you're not going anywhere. You're just at rest. But they forget to mention that we are not only body, we are spirit, and we are
spiritual beings.
We are spiritual beings. So when we die, our body, yes, is decomposed in the ground,
yes.
But our spirit and our soul is alive, you know, being in the Lord. That's what I believe, and that's what I hold to. But, you know, sometimes these things kind of haunt you because you're hearing one side of the coin and, you know, that's what you see.
My belief is that we are absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yes.
I fully believe that. It's to be present with the Lord.
So the spirit,
we
the
go
spirit
straight
and
into
the
his
soul
presence.
Leaves the body.
We go straight into his presence.
One at a time. Okay. All right, Auntie, finish your thought.
Yes, I'm saying that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I think that as you die, your spirit go right on to the Lord, to be with the Lord. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, Sister Minister Lynette.
Amen. No, it's the same thing that sis says, right? The spirit and soul leaves the body and goes directly to be with the Lord.
I was just
experiencing that comfort and presence with God.
You know, what I was about to say is that there are many teachings out there and many beliefs out there.
Okay.
But we are biblical. We are going by the Bible. And it's what we believe, not what anybody else believe, what
mm-hmm.
we believe.
We believe. Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible set it out straight. Because there are many beliefs out there. But what we believe.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
I know the Catholics, the Roman Catholics, teach that you go to a place that is called purgatory. No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't believe in purgatory.
Yeah. Bless the Lord. Sister Radian.
Greetings. God bless you, everyone. So I'm trying to understand what we're discussing, because is it that we're saying that immediately after death, our soul goes to be with the Lord? That's what we're saying?
Yes, that's what we're saying.
Oh, so if yes, how does the part about the scripture that says the dead in Christ shall rise first?
That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection right there. We're talking about where the spirit.
Resurrection.
The spirit goes
so
right
the spirit, oh, so you're saying that the spirit goes up to be with the Lord. And then what?
Resurrection of the body.
If the body is going to be broken down, as you say, go back to the earth, what is going to resurrect if the soul has already gone to be with the Lord, as you're saying? No.
All right. When we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells Paul who's saying it that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, yeah, he was saying that to this effect that when you plant a seed, amen, the seed goes down into the ground. And it grows up into a plant. The plant is grown up from the seed. The seed underneath it is rotten, just like how your body will decay and rotten. But what it produces is a newness, right? Something beautiful arises from that seed. You know, so our body, as it is now, is corruptible. It will face decay. But in the resurrection, it's going to be incorruptible. It's not going to face decay anymore. And as Paul said in the New Testament, he said, death is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Death is a mystery. You know, as we read and the word and God would highlight certain things to us and drop it in our spirit, you know, so we can hold on to it by faith. You know, and as we go through this earthly life, we're not going to understand everything. But I pray, God, that we will understand enough.
Amen.
To take us into glory.
Amen.
You know, we're not everything that's going to come clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I pray that we will know enough to
Amen.
Take us into glory.
It's so true. That's wisdom.
Yeah.
That's wisdom.
There's so many teaching around. You know, so many teaching, so many doctrines, you know, but we have to we have to just live at the feet of Jesus. Let him be the teacher. The Holy Spirit himself be our teacher. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We know in
yes.
part. Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Camille? Sister Radian did that comes off with any clarity?
I'm still on the wall or on the yeah. I still don't get it. But I guess I'll have to read a bit more.
Anyone else want to share something else with Sister Radian?
I know somebody has had their hand raised, but I was looking at 1 Corinthians 15 and 42 to piggyback off what you said, Brother Scott. It says,
Yes.
it's the same with the resurrection of the dead. A rotten body is put into the ground, but what is raised won't ever decay. It's degraded when it's put into the ground. I'm reading from, is that CEB Bible? It's degraded when it's put into the ground, but it's raised in glory. It's weak when it's put into the ground, but it's raised in power. It's a physical body when it's put into the ground, but it's raised as a spiritual body. So what I'm wondering, okay, so the soul leaves and go to heaven to be with the Lord, but when the body, that body is raised up at the resurrection, I'm just wondering, is it that the two then the soul finds back that body? So it's like your soul go back, whatever, and raise up. Could it be something like that?
Yes, it could be the soul, everything in one now, and then as Abraham would say that I'm looking for a new I'm looking for a new city, the new Jerusalem coming out of the heaven as a bride, a bride, builder, he's looking for a land whose builder and maker is God, so at death the soul would leave the body and it would be ushered into heaven by angels. At the resurrection, I don't know how God will do it, but we are going to rise again. That's our belief as Christians. We will rise again. When Christian dies, yes. Sister Camille?
Yes, Deacon.
Yes, go ahead.
Deacon. I didn't have my hand up. I think it's Sister Alicia.
Oh, Sister Elisha.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
I
sis.
didn't get the chance to read the scripture, but my belief and based on what I've been hearing, all right, I'm a Roman Catholic, and
Okay.
I. It's not because I'm a Roman Catholic, but you have to read the Bible and you have to know God for yourself. The Bible is somewhat a mystery. It very mis a mis mystical. But you have to learn to read the Bible and discern and know it for yourself. The Bible says that it will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. All right? So when he comes, you will have some of us who are no longer here, and some will be still here. Those, this is my belief, this is my opinion. Based on what, if you live a glorious life, a Christ-like life in words, thoughts, and action, and if you die, all right, you are somewhere where I don't believe as soon as if as soon as you die, you go to heaven. So yes, to somewhat I believe, but where, if you are in heaven and when he comes, how are you going to be raised again when you're already there? You are somewhere where you have peace. So when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, those who live a Christian life, a true life, they will be raised first. And those who did not, when he said, just like in the Bible, he said, where were you when I was hungry? Where were you when I was thirsty? I don't know you. All right? Where would you, where? So, and for us as Christians, sometimes if we continue to spend a lot of time and saying, okay, when we die, we are going to go to heaven, we're going to go to purgatory, we're going to go to there, it's just going to take the essence of being a Christ, being the hands and feet of God. What we need, what in my opinion, what we need to focus on, being the hands and feet and the eyes of God to do what He wants us to do on earth. So whenever we die, wherever we go, we know that we are at peace, eternal peace, because nobody has gone and just come back to us and say, okay, He's here. We will have dreams, we will have visions, but is that like the person not going to come back to us and say, yes, I am in heaven. You will get some dreams. You will see the person clothed in white, happy. And, you know, we will infer to say, okay, my mother is at rest. My friend is at rest. So as Christians, we just need to read the Bible, focus more and be more Christ-like, because in understanding if we are, because some people, all denominations have it different. All denominations have it different. And if we should hear, as I think somebody mentioned before, if we should continue to focus on, you know, the different teachings, we are going to lose our way. And we can't allow to lose our way. We just have to focus, to know that we are God's hands, we are His feet, we are His eyes, we are His eyes, and we are doing what He wants us to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Alicia. Yes, this is a mystery. You know, we, as I said, we just have to just concentrate on the content of the Bible. Amen. I see another hand up. Was it Sister Tamaya?
It was accidental, Brother Scott.
Okay, sis. Yes, we are far past our dismissal time. We had a lively discussion, amen. We know that anytime we touch anything in the last days, it's going to be, they have a lot of different views on the last days, amen. And so this study is not conclusive. We're going to visit it again. You know, we're going to visit it again from a different angle, and so we can be edified as a body, amen. And we can indeed live a purposeful Christian life, purposeful Christian life, amen.
Amen,
amen. Sister Allison.
Amen, amen. A warm welcome to all who joined us tonight. We thank Him for another opportunity to come together to study His word. What a time we had tonight. What a study. So much to chew on. And as Sister Alicia said, let our focus be on doing what is right in the sight of God to make heaven our home one day. So it may not be when we die immediately being with Him, but the principal thing is to have love and to serve God and serve His people so that we shall see Him one day and we will be with Him one day. The word says if we only had hope in this life, we'll be men most miserable. And we see the world that we're living in right now. So we're just anticipating that day for the new Jerusalem when we'll come down out of heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
And to be made new and to be with God one day. That is our desire.
Amen.
We just want to give thanks tonight to the Lord for using Brother Scott and the Holy Spirit's guidance to give us this word to meditate on in the season. Love being the principal thing and making heaven our home. And that is our desire, and that is our purpose, is to see God face to face. He's eternal, and He's the infinite fountain of love, as Brother Scott said. So let us
Amen.
Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that death is defeated. If that's one thing we are assured of. It doesn't matter where we go, but we know that death is defeated. And God's future kingdom has already begun to manifest
Hallelujah.
Through the love that we show each other.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, this coming Thursday, January 29th, on the same platform, Prayer Portals to Heaven Ministry International, we'll be having a wellness seminar under the theme, Complete Wellness Through Jesus Christ. It promises to be a blessing, so come on out, post it on your statuses, and invite someone. So that we can see how we can be well, spiritually well in this season. so that the day that's fast approaching, we can anticipate it and know that our soul is well and we can be with the Lord and we can hear God saying, as Brother Scott says, and we can see him face to face and his glory, we won't have to turn away like Moses
Jesus.
Did. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Sister Eva, over to you as we go to the throne of grace to close off in prayer. And that she'll be followed by Minister Lynette, who will do the benediction. God bless people
glory.
Of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everyone.
Night, Sister Eva.
God be the glory. Good night.
Night.
Yeah, a lot to digest tonight. It's a lot, but I encourage each person to walk in his perfect will so we all will see our Lord face to face someday.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
so let us pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as I come before you tonight, I humble myself before you, Lord. I am grateful for your loving kindness and your tender mercies towards us. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you have poured into our lives each day. I thank you that you are here and still, you are here with us, Lord, and you give us breath because of your grace and mercy. That is what is keeping us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe for a time like this. You have designed and fashioned us according to your will. Let your will be done in and throughout us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We acknowledge that every breath, every opportunity, and every season of growth comes from you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness.
Thank you, Jesus.
The unwavering love that you pour into us each day.
Hallelujah.
Even when we don't deserve it, Lord, you
Amen.
Still give us all the love and
Jesus.
Attention.
Hallelujah.
What
yes,
a
Lord.
God you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help us, Lord, as we walk this journey to be more and more like you. When family forsake us, when friends oppresses us, when everything else fails, Lord, and we want to give up, we can't be bothered because of the journey, and the journey does not look right. Remind us, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Take us back to that old rugged cross so we can give it all to you, Jesus. We can
Hallelujah.
Lay all our burdens at the foot of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Remind us, Lord, that weeping may endure for a night,
Hallelujah.
But joy cometh in the morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
remind us, Jesus, that you, Lord, is our rock and hiding place. When we are weak, remind us that you are our refuge and strength, our present
Hallelujah.
Help in times of trouble, Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, we will not fear. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Tonight,
Hallelujah.
Lord, I ask for renewal, not just outwardly, but deep within our hearts and minds tonight, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Renew our spirit where weariness has sick, Lord.
Jesus.
Restore our focus and strengthen our faith
Hallelujah.
Where it has been tested
oh,
in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Lord.
Help us, God, to release habits, thoughts, and attitudes that no longer
Jesus.
Align with your will,
Jesus,
Jesus
Lord.
And replace them with
oh,
clarity
God.
And discipline and peace, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Teach
yes,
us
Lord.
To walk with patience and obedience,
yes,
trust in
God.
Your timing, Lord, than
yes,
our
Lord.
Home. Thank you, Jesus. I lift before you tonight, mighty God, every member and every leader connected to this ministry, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Each person, mighty God, give each person, mighty God, carry responsibility and unseen burden, mighty God. Grant us strength to endure, wisdom to make the right decision, and grace to respond with humility, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Father, when challenges arise, help us to remain steady, united and rooted in truth rather than fear and frustration, mighty God.
Lord.
I pray especially for our leaders tonight. any leaders that attaches to us, mighty God. I pray that you sustain them with discernment, integrity, and perseverance, mighty God.
Oh,
guard their hearts and minds as they serve and give them clarity in any decision. When leadership feels heavy, mighty God, remind them that they are supported by you and by those they serve, and their works is not in vain, in Jesus' name. Continue to watch over them. Continue to protect them and give them a peace of mind, mighty God. Strengthen each member with commitment, unity, and purpose, Lord. Help us to support one another with patience and understanding. Let our service be sincere in the mighty name of Jesus, and our action guided by love, mighty God. Teach us to carry out responsibility faithfully and to remain consistent, even when progress feels slow, mighty God. Father, I ask that you renew us daily. Renew our strength when we are tired. Our hope when we are discouraged. Our vision when the path ahead feels unclear. Help us to finish each assignment, mighty God, you have placed before us with faithfulness and endurance, mighty God. I trust you, Lord, to continue the work you have begun in all of us. May we move forward, mighty God.
Thank you,
strengthen Hallelujah. And prepare for whatever lies ahead of us. Oh God, always seeking to honor you, mighty God. We always seek to honor you, mighty God. Always seeking to honor you every day, mighty God. Bless us as we continue this journey, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, as we are about to leave this line today, mighty God, but still remain in your presence. Bless us as we go, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Praise God. What a night.
Amen.
Glory to God. Our souls are blessed. Hallelujah. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Walk in the strength of the Lord. Good night. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Praise
Good night,
God.
Everyone. Amen. Bless the Lord.
Hi, Dion.